This is lesson number one in the IAS USA CDC lecture series on hepatitis C, goals for treatment and predicting response. My name is Dr. Raymond Chung, Director of Hepatology in the Liver Center, Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. In this lesson, we will cover the rationale and goals for treatment of hepatitis C, including sustained virologic response, disease progression, and survival, the viral factors that predict response to therapy, including HCV genotype and viral load, host factors that predict response to therapy, including race, age, sex, and IL-20B genotype, and combined factors, including the degree of fibrosis. First, rationale and goals for treatment. Chronic hepatitis C is a progressive disease that, left unchecked, can produce significant morbidity and mortality. We know that hepatitis C is an RNA virus that does not possess a latent or stable intermediate, in contrast to HIV and hepatitis B virus. As a result, the virus requires continuous replication for its survival. This fact can be exploited by the use of antiviral therapies given for sufficient duration to result in extinction of the viral life cycle and achievement of a sustained viral clearance or sustained virologic response. This SVR is indeed possible in hepatitis C virus and is tantamount to clinical cure. SVR is defined historically as clearance of hepatitis C RNA 24 weeks after completion of a course of any duration in a viral therapy. SVR 24 has proven to be very durable, but it turns out that the measurement of viral clearance as little as 12 weeks after completion of therapy is functionally equivalent to an SVR 24. Thus, SVR 12 has increasingly come into use as a clinical endpoint. This slide depicts the natural history of chronic hepatitis C. Following exposure with acute inoculation of hepatitis C virus, an acute infection results in which 20% of cases appear to undergo spontaneous resolution. The remainder move on to chronic infection, which can have a stable or variably progressive course. But at least 20% of these cases will march on to the development of irreversible fibrosis or cirrhosis. Among cirrhotics, there can be slowly progressive disease progression, but in at least 25% of instances, these patients will march on to the development of liver failure or hepatic decompensation, death from liver failure, the need for liver transplantation, and an independent risk for hepatocellular carcinoma. All told, this natural history plays itself out over a typical 20 to 25 year period, although there is wide variability based on the presence of cofactors or mitigating factors such as alcohol use or HIV co-infection, to name two. We mentioned that a sustained virologic response represents a durable endpoint. This evidence comes from a number of studies, including the cohort study depicted here, in which patients enrolled in 9 different clinical trials of interferon ribavirin-based therapy who had principally monoinfection, with a small group of patients with HIV co-infection, were followed up for a mean of nearly 4 years, with an upper range of follow-up of 7 years. As one can see from this pie diagram, the vast majority of patients who achieved SVR in the context of the clinical trial remained HCV RNA negative for the long-term follow-up period of this study. Indeed, over 99% of patients remained HCV RNA negative, indicative of the fact that a sustained virologic response is truly sustained. This is very good news, then, indeed, for our patients with sustained responses in terms of stating that a clinical cure can, in fact, be maintained indefinitely. What about the impact of sustained response on the natural history of patients with advanced fibrosis? Well, it is absolutely clear from emerging data with sufficient long-term follow-up following achievement of SVR that we are witnessing improvements in all-cause mortality, liver-related mortality, the risk of HCC, liver failure, or the need for liver transplantation, and even reductions in extrahepatic manifestations, including insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes. Data come from a number of cohort studies, including this study, the HALT-C cohort, which was an NIH-sponsored study that originally examined the value of maintenance therapy with interferon in persons who had achieved non-response to peg interferon or ribavirin. In this particular cohort, patients with advanced fibrosis measured as Eshock stage F3 to F6, namely bridging fibrosis to cirrhosis, who had a prior history of non-response to an interferon or interferon ribavirin-based regimen, were eligible to be led in with a treatment course of peg interferon ribavirin. Those patients who did achieve sustained virological response were subsequently followed, as were persons who were not responders to this regimen. Sustained response was seen in 180 patients, and 140 of these patients had available clinical data. They were compared to another 309 patients who had experienced non-response. The median follow-up period was essentially 8 years in each group. As one can see readily from this diagram, the incidence of decompensated liver disease, the need for liver transplantation, HCC, and liver-related death were markedly reduced in patients experiencing sustained virologic responses by a factor of approximately sevenfold. This study, compiled from four European and one Canadian center, numbering over 500 patients, also examined the impact of sustained virologic response on mortality and hepatocellular carcinoma. Sustained response was measured as SVR24 in these patients receiving interferon ribavirin-based regimens. As one can additionally see in this study, the incidence on the right panel of liver-related mortality or the need for liver transplantation was markedly reduced in persons experiencing SVR compared to those persons who did not have SVR. Moreover, it appeared that all-cause mortality was also significantly improved in persons experiencing sustained response. These data imply that not only is there clear-cut hepatic benefit when HCV is durably cleared, but moreover, there may be benefits extrahepatically on other causes of mortality. These may or may not relate to the improvements in diabetes and perhaps even cardiovascular mortality. These data provide strong evidence then that sustained response produces tangible clinical benefits. What about the baseline factors predictive of sustained response? In this era of standard of care being peg interferon ribavirin plus an HCV protease inhibitor, these include and can be divided into viral factors, including HCV RNA levels, HCV genotype, and genotype 1 subtype. Moreover, their host factors can influence response, including race and ethnicity, gender, IL-28B genotype, and body mass index. And a combined predictive factor includes liver histology. Baseline predictors of sustained response have been well characterized in registrational trials of peg interferon ribavirin and protease inhibitors. In this trial called SPRINT 2, which examined peg interferon ribavirin and boceprevir, a number of baseline predictors appear to significantly predict the likelihood of a sustained response, including low viral load, less than 400,000 IUs per mil, IL-28B genotype, the favorable CC genotype, versus either CT or TT, the absence of cirrhosis, the presence of genotype 1B versus 1A in this genotype 1 trial, non-black race versus black race, and a BMI less than 30 versus those over 30, all appear to predict a sustained response to varying degrees. Let's start with consideration of viral factors that predict response to therapy. These factors include genotype. Current therapies, of course, are centered on genotype 1. Peg interferon, ribavirin, and protease inhibitor-based regimens are now standard of care. The standard of care for genotype 2 and 3, however, are peg interferon and ribavirin. Subtype also influences response in persons who enrolled in triple therapy trials. Sustained response rates were consistently higher for genotype 1B than for 1A, at an order of approximately 5 to 10% improvements in the 1B group versus the 1A group. This may be because genotype 1A appears to possess a lower barrier to the emergence of resistant variants for a number of classes of antivirals, including protease inhibitors, and potentially as well NS5A inhibitors and non-NUC polymerase inhibitors. Fewer nucleotide substitutions are therefore required to acquire a resistance mutation phenotype against these specific antiviral agents. HCV RNA levels also has a bearing on subsequent response rate in that higher HCV RNA levels are consistently associated with slightly diminished SVR rates compared to lower HCV RNA levels, although this effect is consistent and consistently strong. What about host factors that predict response to therapy? These include non-black race compared to black race, younger age compared to those older persons, female sex, and possession of the favorable IL-28B genotype, the CC genotype, at the single nucleotide polymorphism described here at the RS1297960 position. This so-called SNP was characterized in a now classic genome-wide association survey study of persons experiencing sustained response compared to non-sustained responses in those in a clinical trial of PEG interferon ribavirin in genotype 1 infection. The strongest predictor of PEG interferon and ribavirin response in that trial was IL-28B genotype, with, again, possession of the CC genotype being starkly improved in terms of response rate compared to possession of the non-CC genotypes. That relationship is depicted in the next slide, in which the sustained response is characterized across a number of racial and ethnic groups, including European Americans, African Americans, and Hispanics. Clearly, the relationship between CC genotype versus non-CC genotypes and sustained response appears to hold true in each of these groups, with an odds ratio of success better than twofold for possession of CC genotype compared to all other genotypes. This is also true even in the less well-performing African-American group. And indeed, the IL-28B gene frequency in these patients of the CC genotype being lower in frequency in African-Americans generally may explain at least half of the observed discrepancy between African-Americans and European-Americans in terms of overall sustained response rate to PEG interferon ribavirin and genotype 1 infection. But what about the impact of the addition of telaprevir to this performance gap, if you will, between CC and non-CC genotypes? Does the addition of telaprevir or bosepivir help bridge the gap? The answer to that question is yes, and is best typified by data shown in this slide, in which each of the three treatment arms, including the peg-ribavirin arm and the two arms containing telaprevir, in this registrational trial of telaprevir called the ADVANCE trial, were compared between IL-28B genotypes for sustained response. As one can see here, the stark disparity between CC and non-CC genotypes is evident, again, in the peg-ribavirin group. However, for the telaprevir-containing arms, that gap is profoundly bridged and is now reduced from a factor of 2.5-fold to a overall gap of 15 to 20 percentage points for the optimal 12-week arm of telaprevir added to PEG and ribavirin. So that gap is markedly diminished, but still is somewhat evident as one compares the addition of telaprevir to the original PEG ribavirin regimen. So we have made progress in helping to bridge the gap, but have not done so completely. What about the degree of fibrosis and prediction of treatment response? We can consider fibrosis a combined factor in which the virus evokes a host response resulting in the development of fibrosis and ultimately with irreversibility of fibrosis, cirrhosis. It appears that those patients who did not have cirrhosis were more responsive than patients who were cirrhotic. The mechanism for this diminished response in cirrhotics remains unclear, but it is logical to speculate that pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic considerations may prevail in patients with distorted architecture, limited blood flow to certain regions of the liver where viral reservoirs may persist, and lower drug concentrations and direct-acting antivirals may be accessible. It's also possible that cirrhosis is associated itself with innate and adaptive immune defects, which themselves lead to a diminished ability to clear out some of these residual viral reservoirs. Nonetheless, the decision to treat patients with cirrhosis in view of these limited response rates must be weighed against the projected response rate in general, and for the projected natural history of these patients being closer toward the terminus of that natural history, and against the potential for adverse events related to treatment in cirrhotic patients generally. It is noteworthy in this regard that the risk for hepatic decompensation in patients who enter with cirrhosis appears to be higher when one receives a triple therapy regimen containing pegylated and a protease inhibitor. Indeed, a study from France characterizing patients with cirrhosis did find a finite frequency of hepatic decompensation among these patients. So care must be exercised in managing folks with cirrhosis. Similarly, in those persons who lack cirrhosis, deferral of therapy may be very reasonably considered in these patients, given the timelines and the impending approvals of direct-acting antiviral regimens, which may allow freedom from interferon. It must be also considered that sustained response rates in these patients will likely also be improved compared to current sustained response rates, and indeed, duration of therapy may also be shortened. So for those patients who have limited disease stage, deferral of therapy may be a very viable strategy. In summary, the cure of hepatitis C is achievable, and indeed sustained responses appear to be associated with tangible clinical benefit, including slowing or reversal of disease progression, reduction of hepatic and all-cause mortality, and improvements in extrahepatic manifestations. Host, viral, and mixed factors all have influence in the success of treatment with peginterferon, ribavirin, and a protease inhibitor. Therefore, discussion of these factors should take place with the patient in preparation for possible therapy with these regimens. The availability of potent direct-acting antiviral combination regimens will have an effect of diluting the impact of these predictors. And indeed, with the expected improvements in sustained responses to very high levels, potentially in excess of 90%, we will see limited impact of these pretreatment predictors.